Kristen Milioti has had a cool and varied career split between television, movies, and theater over the past decade. Her breakout role came with Once, a Broadway production that won the Tony for Best Musical in 2012, earned her a Tony nomination for Best Actress, and won her a Grammy for Best Musical Theater Album. Before that, she'd already had bit roles in The Sopranos, 30 Rock, and Nurse Jackie. She played Leonardo DiCaprio's wife in The Wolf of Wall Street and became the ill-fated mom in How I Met Your Mother. Most recently, she's appeared in David Bowie's off-Broadway musical Lazarus and in season 2 of FX's Fargo. She is now playing Masha in Hallie Pfeiffer's Moscow, 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 a contemporary adaptation of Anton Chekhov's Three Sisters, opening July 26th on the Nikko stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival. It is a great pleasure to welcome Kristen Milioti to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
You have to say that word six times, Moscow, six times. That is the title of the show.
Yes, that's the title of the show. Moscow, 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 Moscow. Yeah.
How did you come to this production?
I've known Hallie for 10 years. She's a very close friend of mine, and she told me a couple years ago that she was writing this part for me in this adaptation of Three Sisters, and it finally happened.
I think most of us know the Chekhov original, so what does this do to that?
Well, that's interesting because I've never read the Chekhov original. And I've now purposefully stayed away from it, which, you know, I might change my mind because I still can't tell if that was a poor decision on my part. But in my heart of hearts, I was like, no, I'm going to, you know, approach this like it's any other play and not have any source material. So we'll see if that remains. But, you know, from what I hear, from what everyone else is saying, it's an extremely faithful adaptation of it. And she has read us parts of it that we've read along with her adaptation, and it's extremely faithful. It just hers is 1,000 times funnier.
I have to admit, when you said, I have never read the original, I thought to myself instantly, well, good for you.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That isn't like you, nice. You won that one.
Yeah, I don't know if it's winning in this scenario. Maybe, I don't know, but apparently I'm not alone. There are other cast members who have slowly started to say that they haven't read it either.
Yeah. Once you say it, I'm sure everyone will follow suit. As far as Masha, but what we do know that this is a major role in this and something that allows you as an actress, you believe you can finish the sentence, to do what?
This role in particular? Well, God, I don't know. I mean, I think what's amazing about Hallie's writing and what she allows actors to do through what she creates is that you can sort of really let loose and really, I don't know, just like go nuts. It's very grounded, and it's rooted in reality, and it's rooted in pain, and it's rooted in humor. But it's also like touches on the absurd at numerous times, and you sort of have to waffle back and forth between like maniacal laughter 1 second and tears the next. And it's a huge challenge, and it's very rare that you get a chance to do that. It's very scary to be asked to do that. But I think once you sort of lean into it, it's pretty freeing and deeply exciting. And so that's sort of has what it's been for me.
Do you look for a role that sort of encapsulates some of what you just mentioned, given your talents, given Once, given your musical background, given television, film? What do you look for when it comes to a role in the next project to say, I'm going to spend this amount of time on this?
Yeah. Well, I usually look at if it's different. The first thing I look at is if the role is different than something I've already done. That's deeply, deeply, deeply important to me. I would say probably the most important thing. And then I look at who else is involved, because that's like, you know, I want to work with great people. I've been very, very spoiled. I've gotten to work with really incredible people. And I'm not just talking like talent-wise, I mean like heart-wise as well. So that is usually like how I let myself decide something. And if I'm going to be challenged by it. But mostly it's just that I want to keep it as different as possible.
Are you afforded that opportunity in the sense that there's enough out there to keep it different and to keep it kind of cool?
Yeah, I think I've done a pretty decent job at doing that for myself, but it's not, if I said that opportunities were plentiful to like do different roles that are written for women, in between, you know, like at a certain time in their life. I don't know. I would be lying. You know, I think things are much better, but there's still a ton of manic pixie dream girl tropes and, you know, the guy's girlfriend tropes and the wife that just wants everyone to settle down tropes. I mean, that those are so alive and well. And so when I see something that's not that, I usually pounce and really try my best to go after it with everything I've got. That is not an issue in this play.
How do you look back on the experience of Once?
I mean, it's the most magical experience I've had to date. It was incredible. It was really, I remember like a lot of people during that time who were also involved in that show kept saying things like, you, this is so rare. This is so rare. And I did know it was rare, but I really know that it's rare now. And it was, I don't know. I just was like, it was really, I just keep using the word magic. Blessed. I don't know. It was like a very blessed experience. And I'm still deeply close with some of the people from that. And like the lessons I learned in that show as an actor and as a human are lifelong. That show just, yeah, it was a dream.
And you were involved pretty much from the ground up, correct?
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Which is like this, I would think, affords you a great opportunity to create, yeah. to make that character what you want it to be.
Yeah, I mean, we started it in Cambridge where no one, you know, it was very safe. We had 8 performances in a bar, and I think like the maximum amount of people that could attend a performance was like 40 or something. So it was extremely safe. There were no critics. There was no, I think it was like mostly Harvard students and ART members, and it was I can't even describe how magical, and I just keep using that word, that in particular that time was in Cambridge when we were all just like creating this thing in a church basement and creating it for ourselves, which is why I think that show was ultimately so successful. I think when people like set out to make a success, that they very rarely accomplish that.
Your performance was beautiful. As I mentioned, you were nominated. You, beautiful voice, beautiful singing in that performance. And is that something you want to get back to, of saying, okay, musical theater would be something I would like to do again?
Yeah. I mean, the next show I did after Once was Lazarus. Mm-hmm. You know, I love singing so much. I sometimes think I like it more than acting. And so when the two are combined, it's you know, incredible. I would love to do another musical. My voice is pretty specific. So I don't know if maybe that's like either, you know, I probably can't go off and like do Candide. I mean, maybe I could, but, yeah, I would love to do another one. I love it. It's a rough life, but I love it.
8 shows a week. Is that the rough part?
That's brutal. Well, and you're just worried about your voice all the time. You can do a play with a cold, and you can do a play with a hangover, and you can do a play when you're not feeling well, and you can do a play with like a hoarse voice. You can make it work. You cannot do a musical with like, you know, any of that. With a headache, it's hard to do. It's just, it's so immense. Like, I just saw this interview with Patti LuPone, and she was like, this is my last musical. And they were like, why? And she was like, because I'm old and this is hard. And I was like, amen, girl, it's so hard. And like, we all know that, but it is that, you know, it's so, I don't talk on the phone. You don't go out. You have to eat certain things that don't like aggravate your voice. But it's all worth it because it's like flying when it works. But, yeah, their musicals they're no joke.
I want to ask you about How I Met Your Mother and how you look back on that, because you play such an iconic role on a show that you really only starred in for a couple of months. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I know. It was only like a handful of episodes.
And that's interesting.
Yeah.
I guess Paul Rudd had a similar thing on Friends.
Oh, yeah. Right, I guess he did, yeah.
But it's, so how do you look back on that?
Oh, I mean, so positively. I mean, those, you know, that cast and Carter and Craig, who created it, and Pam, who directed all the episodes, and everyone involved in that show, they'd all been doing it together for like 10 years, or 9 years rather, when I came around. And they were such a tight-knit group and such a family and so immensely welcoming. I'd never really been in LA before, and I was very lonely there, and they just made me feel like I was, you know, just very welcomed. And that was an extremely positive experience. That was also deeply spoiling in many ways. You know, that was like really the first, certainly the first series I'd ever been a part of outside of like a guest role. And yeah, it was enormously spoiling. I mean, by the time I joined that show, that show was so beautifully done and had such like a rich history and was such a well-oiled machine, kind of like they were so incredible at what they did. And that was very, very spoiling. So I kind of had like one spoiling thing after another for a while there.
At the risk of spoiling this, and I think most people probably, if they care, know that you died. Okay, so did you know that going in, that was what was going to happen to you?
No, I didn't know that. They told me like halfway through the season, they told me.
So the last episode, I just imagine everyone sort of realizing that this is the end of something that they've been working for almost a decade on. You've been working for a few months, so... Do you can't reach their emotional level, can you? Or
I was sobbing on the last day. I was sobbing, and I felt so embarrassed about it because I felt like I didn't have the right to. You know, obviously, they had put in the time, and it had been a part of their lives in a way that it, you know, wasn't as I'm nowhere near that level of like what I don't know. I'm not explaining myself well. That was their whole. That was the last 10 years of their life, and it was like the last 5 months of mine. But I was hysterical that last day because I loved being on that show so much, so much. And everyone was so sweet, and the writing was so good. And I don't know. I like didn't want it to end, and it felt like this really, I don't know, like charmed period of time. Especially because they wrote certain things for me. Like the more they got to know me and. They just were so lovely. I didn't want it to end, certainly.
So you've been on series since then, and I assume the quest goes on to find something that can match that, that maybe even you could be part of the creation from the bottom up.
Well, I did that. I created my own show last year with my writing partner, and we filmed it. We did a pilot. We wrote it and executive produced it and filmed it and edited it and did all the things, but it sadly died. So I did try it.
Does the quest go on, or do you say, I like theater again?
Oh, I mean, I've always loved theater. No, the quest always goes on. You know, I just did a TV show in London for a while earlier this year, which I'm not allowed to talk about, but I did do it, and it was so much fun and so great, and that will come out in the fall. Hopefully, I mean, unless I'm like cut out of the entire thing, which is always a possibility. But I felt very blessed to be a part of Fargo, actually. That was a show that I still kind of pinch myself that I was a part of that. And I just think that like Noah Hawley, the guy that created it, is just like his mind works at a level that I can't even begin to comprehend. And I thought that show was incredible. And I was very, very proud to be a part of that.
It's such a special production and what they've done with it in concert with the original film, the first season, the second season, what they've been able to do with it is really remarkable.
Yeah, it really is because it's its own unique thing still. While honoring the Coen brothers and the world of that film, it remains true to itself. And they just like have the best actors. I mean, that cast was nuts. That cast was so good. Yeah, it was great.
Pretty amazing cast on this show too.
Oh, really good cast in this show. Yeah.
We're going to be speaking to Micah Stock in a few minutes. Fun.
Yeah, he's very, very special. He's very special. I don't know Micah. I just met Micah this week. And I sometimes when he leaves the room, I go like, that guy's such a gem. Isn't he a gem? He is. He's really, really special. He's immensely talented and very kind. Everyone is. It's really an embarrassment of riches, this cast.
Well, the production is Hallie Pfeiffer is Moscow, 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 opening July 26th, running through August 6th on the NECO stage at the Williamstown Theater Festival in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Kristen Milioti, a great pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.